My name is Val Amsden, and I'm your host of This Side of the Grass. Throughout my experience with the death of very close loved ones, I learned that not many people are prepared for the inevitable. Someday we will all die. On this podcast, I hope to normalize these conversations about dying, not only so we can be prepared, but more importantly, so that we can truly live every single day with purpose and intention that we are blessed to be here on this side of the grass. Welcome to This Side of the Grass. I'm your host, Val Amsden, and I appreciate you being here. Thank you for joining me, taking some time out of your day to listen, whether you're walking the dog or driving to or from work, doing housework, wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm glad that you found me. Whether you know me or not, I really appreciate your time because your time is very valuable and I appreciate it. I want to talk about something today. We're recording this on a Wednesday, and I want to talk about an experience that I had on Sunday, just a few days ago. So I'm still processing this experience, and I thank you for letting me talk about it with you, because I think as I'll go on to share my experience and what I'm learning throughout this and what's helping me to process, I think it's a fairly normal thing to experience at some point or another in your life. On Sunday morning, early in the morning, my husband and I woke up to text messages on his phone with some neighbors letting us know that they had heard gunshots. And as the hours progressed throughout the morning and more information came out, this may be a news story that you heard about if you live in our city, our community, which is the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, or even nationally. It was a news story of a standoff in a home in a city called Burnsville, which is where I live, where a father was holding his family basically hostage. There was a standoff situation with police officers, and at around 5:30 in the morning, there was quite an exchange of gunfire that left four people dead, three of which were first responders, two officers and one firefighter paramedic. The shooter also died. And throughout the morning, as we were learning about what had taken place in this home, which ended up being just about a block from our house, we realized when we determined which house this was happening in and around, that the children in this house, that the officers came to respond to help, as they came to help these children and this mom, they ride the bus with our children. And as we went through the day talking to neighbors, texting with neighbors, calling others that live in the vicinity, maybe not in our cul-de-sac, but the next road down, watching SWAT vehicles drive through our neighborhood, the barricades preventing us going in and out of our cul-de-sac the normal way to the more major road that's near us. There was no vehicles were allowed either direction for a number of hours. There was media presence, helicopters overhead, news vans staged another block or two on the other side away from our home at a local park. And all of this chaos and confusion as we were trying to determine what had happened. And so as things come on the news, we see death, we see shootings, we see wars, we see assault, we see all of these evil things play out. And a lot of the times, while it may affect us for a short period of time, it doesn't necessarily feel very close to home. We can compartmentalize, we can become desensitized because there's not a direct impact. But in this particular situation, as we could literally see the officer, the armed officer on the top of a SWAT vehicle driving through our neighborhood. And you could see the faces of the officers driving back and forth who had just lost people that they knew and loved. And as we recognized who these children were that our kids knew, the little first grader, for example, was one of my daughter's kindergarten buddies last year. And as we made these connections and made these associations, it just kept hitting closer and closer, literally to home. And I remembered a podcast episode that I'd listened to, and I'm going to talk about it and share it with you. And on my previous episodes, I've given you action items, I've given you homework, and my homework for you is to listen to this episode that I'm going to share with you, because even if something like this has not happened to you yet, chances are that it will over the course of your life. If it's in your community or if it's at work. But I listen a lot to the Mel Robbins podcast. She's a very famous podcaster. She's written books. You see her on TV. She's all over social media. She has a huge following. She's amazing. And a lot of her content has to do with motivation and change and self-confidence and ways you can go about your day. And she's got an amazing podcast. But she had this one episode that resonated and stood out to me because it was very different in the content. And it's specifically called Something Scary Happened the Other Day, and I Wanted to Talk About It with You and a PhD Trauma Researcher. And it was her podcast episode from August 13, 2023. And honestly, the one question that was asked that resonated with me, and I've listened to it again since, is it normal to feel guilty or conflicted that I am so affected by an experience that didn't actually happen to me? I didn't witness anything. My husband and I sleep with a fan on, so we did not hear the gunshots. Our neighbors all did. Our son luckily slept through it, and our daughters happened to be spending the night at their grandparents' house. But we saw the aftermath, and we experienced this collective trauma. And that's another word that is talked about in this podcast. And in this episode, Mel Robbins interviews Dr. Mary Catherine McDonald, who talks about not only how to identify this experience, but how to work through it. And it just really resonated with me. And her, as in Dr. McDonald's definition of trauma, anytime you have something that gives you an unbearable emotional experience that lacks a relational home, you have a potential for chronic trauma. And this concept of a relational home, which was coined by Dr. Robert Stiloro, I believe is how you pronounce his last name, they speak to this as well. And relational home is a context in which painful emotional experiences can be shared, understood, and held by others and integrated into one's experience. And as my husband and I try to talk with our children about what happened, especially because they know these kids, they rode the bus together, they saw them in the hallways, they've known them for several years. This family lived in our neighborhood for several, I think 5 or 6 years now. As we try to parent them through how to process this, they have a lot of questions because they're children. Of course they have questions, but as adults trying to process through what happened and share our experiences, we try to organize this experience in our mind in the moment or thereafter, and different people will require different things to organize these experiences in their mind. So it's an excellent episode talking through how to communicate with others. What are those steps to help you heal, to help you move forward? And I've shared this podcast with no less than a dozen people in the last 48 to 72 hours since the incident in the neighborhood. And I wanted to share it with you because, as I said, even now, if now is not the time, if there's not been a specific incident in your life recently, chances are there will come a time when there will be an intense situation. And this relates to death and dying, which is, that's what I have been and will continue to talk about. As we have grief, as we lose loved ones, if we're with them, or just the experience leading up to, during, and after losing a loved one, those are traumatic experiences. So the likelihood of that happening is quite high if it hasn't already. One of the steps that Dr. McDonald, again on this podcast episode, the Mel Robbins podcast, Dr. McDonald talks about towards the end of the episode is that a person should assign meaning to this experience. And this struck me for several reasons. So first, I hadn't listened to this episode for about 6 months. It came out in August, and I had actually forgotten that specific detail. But when I re-listened to this in the wake of this shooting in our neighborhood, I'd already shared the episode again with three other couples that are in our cul-de-sac. And I realized that I was creating meaning by helping to educate them on trauma just because this episode had helped me. So sharing it was creating meaning for me to help process. Second, it reminded me of the book that has most impacted my attempt to heal and process my grief since my brother died, which is called, I have it right here, Finding Meaning by David Kessler. And this may not be the first time you've heard me reference the book. It certainly will not be the last. But David Kessler writes about his own experience with grief after losing his son and how the fifth stage of grief, acceptance, was just not enough as he went through his grief experience. Finding meaning from a tragedy or death or this intense experience, as Dr. McDonald describes it, is so important for healing and moving forward. And for me, there's never really been a moving on, either with my mom's death or my brother's death, or really in general when it comes to trauma or tragedy. There's not a moving on, but there's a moving forward. And does that mean every day gets better? Not really. So I will be very honest with you. It's been a couple of weeks since I've been able to be in the studio and record. And I think I've ugly cried more in the last couple of weeks than in the entire 15 months since my brother died. I've started earnestly looking for a new therapist after taking a break, which is what I told myself last summer. And so I share this with you to again encourage you to give yourself the grace and the space to realize that after you've gone through something that is intense and that could be defined as trauma, even if you're not directly involved, or when you are, it's not a linear path to moving forward. Some days look better than others. I've had an incredible heaviness on my chest that I can physically feel since Sunday. So finding meaning, like the book says, in the wake of grief, or assigning meaning to this experience that I had in my neighborhood 3 days ago, to me, today, this meant sharing it with you. Because if you can get something from this like I did, it's going to help you move forward in your life and with your loved ones. And it's an incredible gift that I didn't make the gift. I'm just sharing it because it worked for me. So I thank you again for spending your time with me and letting me share with you something that is a very deep and meaningful situation. And being vulnerable with you in this podcast, which, you know, as we create this, it's like we're building the airplane as we're flying it. So it's becoming something very special to me, very personal to me, and I'm glad I can share it with you. So as we close out this episode, I just want to remind you that I'd love for you to reach out if you have ideas or topics that you'd like to hear about relating to preparing for death or talking about death or trauma or tragedy or anything that we can talk through together. My email address is val@thissidepodcast.com. val@thissidepodcast.com. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. Some of the kindest souls I know have lived in a world that was not so kind to them. Some of the best human beings I know have been through so much at the hands of others, and they still love deeply. They still care. Sometimes it's the people who have been hurt the most who refuse to be hardened in this world because they would never want to make another person feel the same way they themselves have felt. If that isn't something to be in awe of, I don't know what is. Bianca Sparacino, The Strength in Our Scars.
This Side of the Grass is a Divine Fox production. All thoughts and information shared on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as legal, financial, psychological, or any other professional advice.
I'm so excited to partner with Fountain Hill Winery. Guests of This Side of the Grass will receive wine from our friends at Fountain Hill in Delano, Minnesota. Many of you listening are from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, but even if you're not, if you're looking for a family-friendly getaway that's both relaxing and delicious, look no further than Fountain Hill Winery, nestled in the heart of Delano, Minnesota. Sip on handcrafted wines while savoring authentic Neapolitan pizzas made fresh to order. At Fountain Hill, the fun never stops. With events happening all year round, there's something for everyone to enjoy. From live music to seasonal festivities, their calendar is packed with excitement. Visit fhwandvineyard.com. That's fhwandvineyard.com to stay up to date with upcoming events. Come for the wine, stay for the fun. Fountain Hill Winery, where memories are made and laughter is shared.